You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. That's the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
Christmas in a department store. Kids and adults watch a model train display. Under a large sign saying, North Pole, a big empty chair. On the floor in front of the chair, a small sign says, Santa Claus will return. The store manager fields the questions from shoppers.
I told you that Santa Claus should be back by 6 o'clock.
The time indicated on the sign.
Now you stop here. No.
Elsewhere, a man in a Santa Claus costume takes a drink from a shot glass. Slams the empty glass on the bar. The bartender turns to him.
Hey, you told me to tell you when it was 6:30. It's 6:30.
Santa leans forward and stares at the clock.
That's right.
Looks at it again.
It's exactly 6:30. So?
So what happens now? You turn into a reindeer?
Would that I could. I'll have another one.
You owe me for 6 drinks and a sandwich. That's 380.
Santa reaches inside his jacket. Outside, children look in through windows in the doors. Santa fumbles with some crumpled bills and places them on the counter. He looks toward the doors and waves at the kids. Their noses flattened against the glass. Santa picks up the shot glass and downs it.
Why do you suppose there isn't really a Santa Claus?
How's that?
Why isn't there a real Santa Claus for kids like that?
What am I supposed to be, some kind of philosopher? You know what your trouble is, Corwin? You let that dopey red suit go to your head. What are you, some kind of a nut? Here's your change.
I'll flip you. Double or nothing.
Come on, what do you think this is, Monte Carlo? Finish your sandwich and get out of here.
I've had enough to eat.
Pushing the plate aside.
Hello, Jack's place. No, Jack's not here. This is Bruce.
Corwin reaches for the bottle.
Wait a minute. Santa Claus, I catch you trying that one more time, I'm going to break both your arms up to the shoulder blades. Now go on, get out of here. What's that? Nah, it's just Santa Claus trying to heist the joint.
Corwin stumbles off the bar stool and limps toward the doors.
Thanks a lot, Bruce.
He steps outside into the snow. Outside, two kids sitting on a stoop catch sight of him. They smile broadly and stand up. They jump up and down. Corwin steps off the curb and waves off an approaching car. He turns toward the car, then stumbles back, diagonally crossing the road. Reaches the opposite curb and leans on a lamppost. Falls to the sidewalk. Sits up.
Please, Santa. I want a carriage and a dolly.
Please, I want a gun.
He looks back and forth at the kids on either side of him.
A set of soldiers in the fort.
He breaks into tears.
Santa Claus, a job for my daddy.
Please, a big turkey for our Christmas dinner.
He hugs them.
This is Mr. Henry Corwin, normally unemployed, who once a year takes the lead role in the uniquely popular American institution, that of the department store Santa Claus, in a road company version of The Night Before Christmas. But in just a moment, Mr. Henry Corwin, ersatz Santa Claus, will enter a strange kind of North Pole, which is one part the wondrous spirit of Christmas and one part the magic that can only be found in the Twilight Zone.
Back in the store, Santa slowly walks by the model train display, presses a button on the control panel, and the trains start to move. He presses another button, and the train crashes and derails. He turns it off.
You should see me with a record set.
The store manager rushes by and grabs him from behind.
Corwin, you're an hour late.
I am?
Now you get up on your throne and see if you can keep from disillusioning a lot of kids that not only isn't there a Santa Claus, but the one in this store happens to be a wino who'd be more at home playing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Now get with it, Santa Claus!
Grabs a hold of his arm and leads him towards Santa's throne. Corwin opens up the velvet rope, stumbles up the stairs, and plops himself down in the big chair.
You go ahead. You climb up in his lap. Go ahead. He won't hurt you, will you, Santa Claus? You won't hurt my little boy. Go on, tell him.
The woman pushes her son towards Santa's platform.
What's your name, little boy?
Percival Smithers.
What do you want for Christmas, Percival?
A new front name.
Percy.
I think we have...
Tumbling to the floor.
Look, Mom, Santa Claus is loaded.
Oh, you've got some nerve. You ought to be ashamed.
Madam... I am ashamed.
Oh, come on, Percival.
Madam.
Oh, I hope this isn't going to be a traumatic experience for you.
They walk off.
Is there some trouble here, madam?
Oh, yes, there's some trouble. I shall never trade in the store again. It seems you hire your Santa Clauses out of a gutter. Come on, dear.
All right. Back to work. Back to your positions, please.
He goes up and grabs Santa before he can sit back down.
And now, Mr. Kris Kringle of the Lower Depths, since it is only a few hours till closing time, it is my distinct pleasure to tell you that there is no more need for your services. You have had it. Now get out of here.
I'll be very glad.
And get that crummy red suit back to wherever you rented it from before you really tie one on and destroy it for good and all. You're drunk!
Corwin turns back, goes up the stairs again.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dundee. As to my drinking, this is indefensible. And you have my abject apologies. I find of late that I have very little choice in the matter of expressing emotions. I can either drink or I can weep. And drinking is so much more subtle.
Will you please leave?
But as for my insubordination, I was not rude to that woman. Someone should remind her that Christmas is more than barging up and down department store aisles and pushing people out of the way.
Now, Corwin...
Someone has to tell her that Christmas is another thing, finer than that. Richer, finer, truer. And it should come with patience and love. Charity, compassion. That's what I would have told her if you'd give me the chance.
Well, how philosophical, Mr. Corwin. Now, perhaps as your parting word, you can tell us how we can go about living up to these wondrous Yule standards which you have so graciously laid down for us.
I don't know how to tell you, Mr. Dundee. I don't know at all. All I know is that I'm an aging, purposeless relic of another time. And I live in a dirty rooming house on a street filled with hungry kids and shabby people, where the only thing to come down the chimney on Christmas Eve is more poverty.
Will you keep your voice down?
The crowd of shoppers watches them silently.
You know another reason why I drink, Mr. Dundee? So that when I walk down the tenements, I can really think it's the North Pole and the children are elves and that I'm really Santa Claus. Bringing them a bag of wondrous gifts for all of them. I just wish Mr. Dundee on one Christmas, only one, that I could see some of the hopeless ones and the dreamless ones. Just on one Christmas, I'd like to see the meek inherit the earth.
The kids stare up at him.
That's why I drink, Mr. Dundee. And that's why I weep.
He threads his way through the crowd. The kids follow and watch him as he leaves. Later, Corwin meanders down a snow-covered sidewalk. He stops and grasps onto a lamppost outside the bar. He reaches under his jacket for barely a handful of coins. He steps toward the doors and looks in through the window. Inside, a man rests his head on the bar counter.
Look, there's Santa Claus!
No, go on, get lost, get out of here.
Merry Christmas!
Santa's a lush.
Corwin turns away from the doors and slowly makes his way back to the sidewalk. He stops. Then waddles out into the street. He looks up and around, continues across the street, reaches the other side, proceeds down the sidewalk, stops and leans against a building, continues through heavier snow. A cat jumps down, spilling a sack of tin cans onto the snow. He kicks them aside, continues along. He stops, turns around, looks down at the sidewalk, drops to his knees, and finds a large sack of wrapped Christmas presents toppled on its side. He takes the spilled presents and stuffs them back in. He lifts the sack onto his shoulder.
Hey, everybody!
Walking back down the sidewalk.
Hey, kids! Merry Christmas, everybody! Hey, kids! Everybody.
People come out from a building onto the sidewalk. In a small room, a woman plays an organ and sings. Several shabbily dressed men stand and sing along. One man sleeps on a couch. An old man enters and greets each of the men. The woman turns her head. Getting up from the organ.
What's the idea of coming in here and disrupting the Christmas Eve service?
Sister Florence, I ain't touched a drop since last Thursday, and that's the gospel truth. But I swear to you, on account of I seen with my own eyes, Santa Claus is coming down the street, heading this way, and bringing everybody his heart's desire. So the real honest to goodness...
The door opens, and there he is. He marches down the room and drops the sack on the floor.
Your pleasure for Christmas, gentlemen. How about you, Bert?
I fancy a new pipe.
You'll fancy a new pipe. I'll see what I can do for you, Bert.
Rummaging through the presents.
Oh, yeah. How about you, sir?
I want a sweater.
A sweater? What size?
Who cares what size?
Red!
Oh, thank you.
Anybody else?
Could I have a smoking jacket?
A smoking jacket to go with a pipe, Bert? I'll see what I can... Yes, there's your smoking jacket.
Oh. Where did you get all these gifts?
Sister Florence, don't ask me to explain. I'm just as much in the dark as anybody else. All I know is I've got a Santa Claus bag here that gives everybody exactly what they want for Christmas, and as long as it's putting out, I'm putting in. Sister Florence, how about a new dress?
She scampers away from him and goes out.
Give that to Sister Florence when she comes back.
Santa observes an old, feeble man. He reaches in the sack and pulls out a wooden cane. He walks through the crowd, distributing more presents.
Merry Christmas, officer!
Who is accompanied by Sister Florence.
What's your name?
Henry Corwin. Or is it? I don't know. Maybe it's Santa Claus or Kris Kringle. I don't know.
Running across the room to the sack.
Corwin, is that it?
You're drunk? Of course I'm drunk. I'm intoxicated with the spirit of the Yule. Drunk with the spirit of the Yule. Intoxicated with the magic and wonder that is Christmas Eve. I'm inebriated with joy and delight. Yes, officer, I'm...
With a little leap.
We'll settle this in a hurry. You got a receipt for this stuff?
Receipt?
Of course you've got a receipt.
No.
Sister Florence? If you please, collect all the stolen goods and put them in a pile over there. I'll send for them when I check on who owns them.
Oh, no.
Come on, Santa.
Yes, be right with you, officer.
He follows the officer out, carrying the sack with him.
There's more where this came from.
All right, Santa.
Officer, let me tell you how this whole thing started.
They go outside.
I was having a blast down at Jack's place. Oh, it was about 4:30 in the afternoon when I got there.
They proceed down the sidewalk.
I arrived at Jack's place about 4:30. Between 4:30 and 5, the cocktail hour.
Oh, yes.
Jack wasn't there, but Bruce was.
Oh, I know Bruce.
Yeah. I had a few drinks and a...
Thank you.
F you. I had a sandwich that I couldn't finish.
Into the precinct house. Later, Mr. Dundee arrives.
Here he is, and here we are, and there that is.
And here you are. How nice to see you again, Mr. Dundee.
And how nice it will be to see my wistful St. Nicholas going up the river. Do you suppose he can get as much as 10 years?
10 years?
Well, it don't look good, Corwin. Of course, they could lap off a few months if he was to tell them where the rest of the loot was. He'd be giving out the stuff for 2.5 hours. He must have a warehouse full of it.
I'm glad you brought that up, officer. There seems to be a slight discrepancy here.
Listen, you moth-eaten Robin Hood. The wholesale theft of thousands of dollars worth of goods is not a slight discrepancy.
Reaching into the sack and pulling out
this whole affair comes as no surprise to me. I perceived that criminal glint in your eye the first minute I laid eyes on you. I'm not a student of human nature.
Out comes the cat.
Seems to me that you've put your finger on the problem, Mr. Dundee. This bag doesn't know whether to give out gifts or garbage.
Well, it was giving out gifts when I seen it. Whatever they was wanting, Corwin was supplying. All kinds of stuff. Toys, gifts, anything. Expensive stuff. Admit it, Corwin.
Oh, I admit it. But it seems to me the essence of our problem is that we're dealing with a most unusual bag.
Yes. Well, my advice to you, Corwin, is to clean up this mess and get out of here.
Officer Flaherty, you call yourself a policeman. Well, I suppose it is a demanding task to distinguish between a bag full of garbage and an inventory of expensive stolen gifts.
Heading for the exit.
Oh, Mr. Dundee, believe me, it's like Corwin says, we're dealing with the supernatural here.
In other words, all we have to do is to ask Mr. Corwin to make a little abracadabra for us, and no sooner said than... Well, go ahead, Corwin. I fancy a bottle of cherry brandy, vintage 1903.
Oh, that's a good year.
Heaving the sack onto the table.
Sir Flaherty, how dare you drag me down here at the busiest time of
year? Corwin looks inside the sack,
bag full of garbage,
pulls out a bottle.
Pardon me, gentlemen. Merry Christmas!
He lifts the sack again onto his shoulder and rushes outside. Dundee reads from a tag on the bottle.
To Mr. Dundee from Santa.
Flaherty gets a cup from the water cooler.
Mr. Dundee, you need one.
Dundee opens the bottle. Meanwhile, on the sidewalk...
Beautiful yellow sweater for you?
I want a toy!
You want a toy? I've got a beautiful toy for you right
there. A toy airplane.
Electric train engine, diesel or steam?
I don't care.
All right, there it is.
I want a dolly.
You want a dolly. A blonde brunette.
Blonde.
There she is.
I want a toy, please.
A toy? Why? Oh, I've got one here for you. Right there.
Thank you.
You want a toy? I've got a baseball bat for you. And a toy dog for you.
Thanks.
And a baseball mitt.
Corwin lifts the sack, now empty.
Merry Christmas to all!
Drops it on the sidewalk. Sits down on a snow-covered step. A man comes out of the rooming house and sits down beside him.
Nothing for you this Christmas.
Well, I think I've had the nicest Christmas since the beginning of time.
Nothing for you, nothing for yourself, not a thing.
You know, I can't think of anything I want. I guess what I really wanted is to be the biggest gift giver of all time.
The man nods his head.
And in a way, I think I had that tonight. Although if I had my choice of any gift at all, I think I'd wish I could do this every year. That'd be some gift, wouldn't it, Bert?
Oh, sure would.
God bless you, Bert, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you too, Santa. And thanks for the smoking jacket and the pipe.
Don't mention it.
Bert walks off. Corwin stands up, walks away from the step and from the empty sack, crosses the street, rounds the corner into an alley, and stops. He looks down the alley at a sleigh. He touches it and walks around it to a seat and twin reindeer. Now, behind the sleigh, a loading dock where a young girl stands.
Phew! We've been waiting quite a while for you, Santa Claus.
He looks at her, then looks around him.
Oh, no.
She hops down.
Did you hear what I said?
Onto the sleigh.
I said we've been waiting quite a while for you, Santa Claus.
He steps toward her, reaches over, and touches her arm.
We've got a year of hard work ahead of us to get ready for next Christmas. Come on.
Brushing the snow off the seat.
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
He hops aboard and grabs the reins. And off they go. Meanwhile, Dundee and Officer Flaherty leave the precinct house.
Going home, Officer Flaherty?
Going home, Mr. Dundee. And you?
Going home, Officer Flaherty.
Holding up the bottle.
This is the most remarkable Christmas Eve I've ever had.
They look up, turn their heads from left to right. They start down the sidewalk.
I could have sworn that I... Did you see it?
I thought I did.
Well, what did you see?
I don't think I ought to tell you, Mr. Dundee. You might report me for drinking on duty.
Now, go ahead. What did you see?
It was Corwin, Mr. Dundee. Big as life, in a sleigh with reindeer, sitting next to an elf and riding up toward the sky. That's about the size of it, ain't it, Mr. Dundee?
Dundee nods his head and puts his arm around Flaherty.
Flaherty, you better come home with me, and we'll pour out some hot coffee, and we'll pour some brandy in it, and we'll...
They turn to look at each other.
And we'll thank God for miracles, Flaherty.
Flaherty nods his head.
A word to the wise to all the children of the 20th century, whether their concern be pediatrics or geriatrics, whether they crawl on hands and knees and wear diapers, or walk with a cane and comb their beards. There's a wondrous magic to Christmas, and there's a special power reserved for little people. In short, there's nothing mightier than the meek.
Credits. The Night of the Meek. Directed by Jack Smite. Written by Rod Serling. Produced by Buck Houghton. Starring Art Carney as Henry Corwin. John Fielder as Mr. Dundee. Robert P. Lieb as Flaherty. Val Avery as the bartender. Meg Willie as Sister Florence. Kay Cousins as Irate Mother. Bert Mustin as Old Man. Trains by Lionel Corp. Reindeer furnished by Santa's Village, Sky Forest, California. Copyright 1960 by Cayuga Productions, Inc. Audio description by Lou Lasher.